Okay, this is the August 9th, 2022 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. We believe we have a quorum. I'm going to ask the secretary to take the roll. Arpaul?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Nick Arena?
Here.
Chris Corey?
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Julie Hewitt?
Here.
Jim Kaufman?
Here.
Julia Kennard?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden? Sean Kelly McPherson?
I am.
James Sagerton?
Here.
Susan Young?
Here.
Okay, that's 10. You have a quorum.
Thank you, R. Paul. Very good. Okay, that takes us to number 3 on the agenda, adopt the agenda, for which purpose I will read it. It's number 1, convene meeting, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Number 2, roll call. Number 3, adopt agenda. Number 4, chair's announcements, 2 minutes. Number 5, minutes, 3 minutes. Number 6, report from executive director, if available, 10 minutes. Number 7, report from the CFO, 10 minutes. Number 8, motion to update Pacifica transaction limits, 20 minutes. Number 9, non-disclosure agreements, 10 minutes. Number 10, budget timelines and schedule for NFC review of budgets for fiscal year 22 and fiscal year 23, 5 minutes. Number 11, adjourn to executive session by 9:45 Eastern Time, certain. Eastern Time, time certain. Okay, are there any additions, subtractions, discussion of the agenda?
Yes, Kim.
Go ahead, Kim.
I would like to add add a discussion or the subject of adding additional meetings, not just, you know, we had added closed sessions to the meetings we already have scheduled. I think we really need to start getting these budgets in and start, like, going through them quickly now. I mean, you know, the easy ones first, but we've got to start doing this. So I'm suggesting we add extra days going, you know, for the rest of this month.
Kim, would it be okay if we discussed that when we got to that item on the agenda?
Well,
very good.
It's not on the agenda. I'm saying, can we put on discussing adding new meetings? Adding additional meetings.
Well, the main item on the agenda is budget timelines and schedules for NFC review of budgets for fiscal year 22 and fiscal year 23. So we could discuss it under that, correct?
Okay. As long as it gets discussed.
That's the intention. That's why I put fiscal year 23 in there.
Yeah, but this is fiscal year 22. That we're doing this. Anyway, it's fine. Whatever.
Okay, good. Thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none, is there any objection to the agenda as read? Hearing none, we'll consider that adopted. That takes us to the chair's announcements. This will be very brief. The 2021 audit is finished. The Pacifica National Board's Audit Committee reviewed it at their meeting last night. The executive director will not be with us because she's recovering from donating a kidney, which, by the way, she gave permission for us to announce. We had expected to review the KPFA budget tonight, but that has been postponed. Tonight we will once again consider the motion on transaction limits that has been carried over from previous agendas and an amendment. We will also review the previously distributed non-disclosure agreement and consent to use electronic transmission forms. We will go into executive session after the open session to discuss replacing NETA, which will involve personnel and contractual issues. There are no other new announcements. That takes us to minutes. R. Paul, are there any minutes?
Yes, there are.
Floor is yours.
Okay, I move that we approve the minutes of the July 26th, 2022 NFC meeting.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none, is there any objection? Hearing none, that's approved. Thank you, R. Paul. Any others? I don't think so.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you, R. Paul. We're up to date. Very good. It's a lot of work making those minutes. Thank you, R. Paul. Okay. That takes us to number six, report from the executive director. As previously announced, she's not with us, so that is not available tonight. Number seven, report from the CFO. Julia, I have this at 10 minutes. You know, if it goes over, I'll keep an eye on the clock. We'll extend. I would take as much time as you like.
Okay. And please forgive my grogginess. I am just worn out. So much stuff going on. The good news is, as James indicated, the audit was submitted to the audit committee last night by the auditor with Rogers and Company. And I thought there was pretty good discussion. You know, there we will be sending this out once it's gone to the PNC. But this is the first time in a while, I think, that Pacifica has received an unqualified or clean opinion. So we were happy about that, and I think that that is something to celebrate. You know, I wasn't really sure that that would happen. But I'm happy to report that it has. I'm not going to go too much into it, but I did want to hit a couple of hot spots because I know people are interested in a few things at least, and related to some of the transactions that we were concerned about whether or not we would be able to get approved and posted for fiscal year 21. So it turns out that the I apologize. I'm looking at this now. I pulled up the wrong file. We were able to go ahead and reverse the KPFA accrued expense that had been posted in prior years for their property tax issue. And so that was a little over $400,000 that in expenses that we were able to reverse. So that was pretty significant. And that allowed us to go from almost a $500,000 deficit in change in operating net assets to just a $65,000 deficit. So big change there. Again, I'll repeat that. Had we not been able to reverse that, we would have had close to, you know, a $500,000 deficit, but because we were able to reverse that accrual with the late notification last week that all had been taken care of, and change in net assets is a decrease of $65,000. There will be a management letter. It's being finalized, and we'll need Stephanie's final review. But we're hoping to have that out, you know, I would think probably next week. The updates to that are mostly related to more so subsequent events. For example, the fact that the EIDL loan, you know, was increased from $150,000 to $2 million right after the end of fiscal year 21. So we had to add some notes about that. Update the notes about the FJC loan, you know, the interest payments that have been made, the fact that there was a subsequent event there with the extension of the loan so that it was not, is no longer due. In 2 months, we've got another 2 years before that's due. So there are some updates for things like that. But, I'm just going to leave it at that, and we'll go into more detail with Eileen, the board, Friday night, and then I'll make sure that we get this distributed to everyone in advance of the next meeting in case you guys have any questions. But nice to have that completed. We also have the 990 completed. I received that today. I've obviously seen a couple of drafts of it, or at least one draft of it. I need to go through this final draft and sign off on it, and he will get it back to us for signatures, and that will be ready to be filed by the 15th. So that is a relief. I have that done. That's the big update on the audit and the tax return. As far as cash goes, we are still in a challenging situation this week. I'll start with WBAI. They are right now a little over $9,000 short for payroll. We have two more days worth of deposits, so it is possible that they will be able to cover that. They're averaging about $2,300 a day this month in their fund drive. It did need to be more than that, and we knew that going in to be able to hit the number required to fund payroll. But they just got to a point where they had to make some large payments, for example, rent, tower rent, the phone bank people required some payments, so we weren't able to hold off on those anymore to make sure that he was able to fund payroll. But again, I think that one's going to be close, and we'll have a better feel tomorrow for that. KPFK is currently about $35,000 short for payroll. Has to be funded on the 11th, which is 2 days from now. They're not going to be able to make that, obviously. They will have their fund drive kicked off last Friday, and they're averaging about $4,700 a day. They've raised about a little over almost $24,000. And I think that their fulfillment rate is about 85%. Interesting how that number tends to stick around, be around the same amount. So at this point, National Office fortunately received its services from KPFA for July last week, and we'll have to use that to subsidize the payroll for KPFK this week. I failed to check to see how long. Well, I apologize. I have it up on the screen. Do I have it on the screen? No, I don't. I believe that the August fund drive at KPFK is to last all of August. That being the case, if they do that, they should be in a position, obviously, to repay the national office, because no one's really in a position to absorb that much of a loan for a long-term period at this point. KPFT is still borrowing from its restricted cash to fund its payroll. Their payroll is not very high, so not too terribly worrisome. They're able to at least fund it, but those funds are going to need to be redeposited. It's any funds that come in that are unrestricted are going to have to go back and replace those funds, or the national office will have to cover it. WPFW and the archives have already funded their payroll for this week. And the archives, wait, did I say the affiliates? WPFW and the affiliates have funded payroll. The archives, I'm sure, will be fine, and we'll be doing that tomorrow as well. So, and of course, KPFA will be able to wire theirs. We do have a couple of invoices that are significant that need to be paid, as was approved in the the PNB meeting last week. Some funds are being transferred tomorrow from the Schwab account to pay for the remaining payments for the audit for producing and delivering the 990. And then, from what I understood from what was said at the meeting last Thursday, pay the July NETA invoice. Once that happens, we'll be kind of starting over again, and just, there's still significant aged payables both for the national office and for KPFK. WBAI still has a decent amount of aged payables, but they have been able to, I think they're only really technically in between that 1 and 2 months behind. They do owe July and August for one rent, and then I believe June, July, and August for the other. the situation at WPFW. I think there's still some debate going on there about how the transition between from traditional quarterly fund drive type fundraising to the type of fund drive fundraising that you might see at a more non-radio based, but still, you know, a good concept is the looking to develop the relationships with the membership, looking for opportunities for major gifts, that type of thing. You know, it's hard to cut things cold turkey, and I think there's some debate going on at WPFW with that right now. They have not started their August drive, so their cash right now is about $35,000. But I'm hoping that they will be able to start the drive next week, knowing that they still are committed to transitioning to a different fundraising model, but just they can't completely stop one when the next one is not fully developed yet or developed enough to rely on any significant return on investment with that. So that's the challenge that they've got going on right there. Let's see. I do have a list of ETA responsibilities that I did send out. I'm not before the meeting tonight. I don't know if everyone's had an opportunity to look at that. I'm happy to read over it if anyone feels it's worthwhile, or you can all just read it when you have a chance and to absorb it. I know that there has been some conversation about how this transition is going to work. The PNB approved putting a interim national office business manager in place, and that person definitely would be working on the payroll processing issue and getting trained on that, and then hopefully moving into some other day-to-day responsibilities, national office, and potentially some of the other stations should to keep things really rolling until more permanent decisions can be made about how all of the work will be handled long-term.
Question about
a lot there, so if anybody wants to throw out some questions, we can go from there.
Okay, thanks, Doc, for questions. I heard Beth, and who else?
Susan.
Who's that, Susan? Go ahead. Okay, Susan. Anyone else? I'm going to put myself on. Anyone else?
McFadden.
Gotcha. Anyone else?
Chris?
Yep. Anyone else? Okay, I'll go after you, Chris. Let's go ahead with Beth.
Thank you. Yes, Julia, I'm wondering about the status of what we owe, what KPFK owes Edison for the month. I know my understanding was it's due the 11th, and it's critical. We can't afford to be late or a dollar short. Has that been paid or will it be paid? Is it covered?
I did pay that today. It was a little over $11,000, and the monthly amount that's like $3,200. I paid both of those today. I'm sorry?
What was the second one?
The monthly amount that is the past due amount that was divided up over the 18 months.
Okay. All right. In my
I like to keep them as separate transactions in my mind. So they were both. And I actually keep a spreadsheet on my. I have a couple of columns on my cash sheet where I track your cash. That it's sitting there looking at me every day, so it doesn't get lost. Double.
I feel better.
May I interject with a point of personal privilege that I'm going to recognize myself for? Could you say the second number again, Julia? Was it 5,000?
No, it's a little over 3,200.
3,200. Thank you. That's all.
Yeah, I guess with the weather, it's just that, you know, there's been a big increase.
Point of information, Beth's question was garbled on my phone, and I couldn't quite hear what the what the payments were for? Could they just be repeated?
Power electricity, Southern California Edison. So we have our monthly payment that is due for KPFK. And then they had such a large past due amount that that was divided up over into a payment plan over 18 months. So in addition to the current monthly cost that we have to pay, we also pay the installment on the past due amount.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Beth, were you finished? Beth? Beth, are you muted?
Sorry, there was another call coming in. I was trying to disconnect that.
Don't worry.
So that
I just want to know if you were finished or do you have further questions?
That's everything for the moment. That was the most crucial thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now we have Susan.
Yeah, first, congratulations to everybody who made a clean opinion possible. And that, it seems to me, is one of the numerous demonstrations of the importance of NIDA. Julia, you and your team, fabulous work. Congratulations. Quick comment. It's clear that with KPFK, there is a through the national office loan from KPFA. I hope that the board, with the encouragement of the National Finance Committee, will address the questions of when does the buck stop. And the real question I have for Julia is, would you be kind to go through that $500,000 reversal again? I didn't fully hear what it was that you were describing, and congratulations on that.
Okay. So one, wait, what was the first one? I just something popped up on my phone and lost my train of thought. The first comment was
congratulations on the clean opinion.
I thought there was something else. So, well, anyway,
the second thing was paying for KPFK. KPFK Central Services going through the national office. And the national office paying for covering payroll. And, I don't think that's a sustainable model.
And I probably should not have said that that's why they were able to fund it, that's a nice deposit that comes through. And fortunately or unfortunately, it's there. And, you know, we need to make payroll. We just, felt like the other options were just not viable at this point. So, and knowing that they all fund drive means that they won't be able to pay.
We have to remember that KPFT is not making central services and neither is WBAI. This is not a sustainable model. And wish to say that very clearly in the National Finance Committee. Julia, I'm not asking you to comment on it. I'm just making the comment. So the $500,000 reversal.
Uh-oh. Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, we lost you there for a minute.
Can you revisit and explain the great $500,000 reversal in the audit process?
I can to a degree, and here's why I say that, because I had so much on my plate, and our George already knew a lot about that and had worked with Maria on that, so I chose to not ever focus on that because I didn't have that on my plate, but I do know that this was several years' worth of property tax with penalties, and then we had to assume that property tax was going to be owed. So it was $400,000. I'm going back to here. Sorry, I had to pull it back up because I can't find it. Hold up the wrong
Julia,
here.
I'm sorry, James, can I interject? Yeah, sorry.
Well, let's Julia, go ahead and finish, and then you can interject. That's the Alameda County Board of Equalization matter, right?
Right. So we were able to reverse almost $430,000 worth of those accrued property tax expenses. And so by doing that, that's where I was saying that offset some of the loss, that equivalent amount of loss that all of Pacifica would have recognized this year had we not had that come in at the last minute.
Wow.
So it's not a cash transaction. It's a liability transaction. It just reduced your liabilities by $427,000.
And so that's a one-time adjustment. So,
I'm just trying to get a little control back here. I've been allowing a loose crosstalk. Let's try and reel it in a little bit. Chris had asked to get on the stack after Julia to give a brief explanation of that, I think. Chris?
But to answer Susan's question there, because I was still answering hers, that's a one-time reversal. So not something you would rely on repeatedly.
Yes.
As is, for example, the PPP loan forgiveness. So if we took that into account, if you didn't have the PPP loan, you know, you would definitely be in the red significantly. So that was a blessing. But go ahead, Chris.
Yeah. I was just going to say that I spent a little time talking to Maria about this as the week proceeded. It came across as, a good announcement at KPFA. And so this was a liability associated with property taxes dating back to 2014, I believe. And I don't have my notes in front of me right now, but I know that it had to be handled as like two separate reversals. But in any case, not to get off into the weeds too much, it was about $500,000 liability that was reduced to less than $50,000. So that was, that's nice. It helps clean up the books, makes things look better. It does not have any, material consequence to the organization other than the fact that we no longer have that giant sledgehammer hanging over our heads. So it was a good event. It was great that it happened.
Yeah, yes. And I would say that I didn't do any work on that. That was Maria and I guess the lady at the Board of Equalization did all that. So it's just taken years to get it to come together. So it was very exciting news.
Indeed, it was wonderful news. And in fact, despite the fact that myself having spent 8 years or more on the local finance committee at WII, you'd never heard of that until a couple of years ago. And then it came out and there was a lot of back and forth about whose fault it was. And it turns out that indeed Maria was right in not paying those taxes, because if she had paid them, we would not have been able to make this reversal, at least not to the extent that we did. And it's really a happily ever after moment.
Now, there were different legal fees throughout the years.
Right.
Tell you what those are, but it's a good, nice little entry to round out fiscal year 21. So we'll take it.
Did I hear Kim?
No, Julia just answered my question about the legal fees. It was not without lots of legal fees.
Wanted to know if you were requesting the stack. I'll take you off. We have James McFadden next.
Yeah, the first question I was going to ask got answered, so I'm going to ask a different one. What are the property taxes every year at KPFA? So what is that now that this has been straightened out? So what is the yearly property tax?
I don't know that. I'll have to look it up. I don't believe it was 100% exemption, but I feel like it was pretty close to that. Chris, do you recall?
Yeah, it's less than $10,000. I believe it's closer to five.
Yeah, I was going to say I was thinking maybe $10,000, but I can send that information out later.
And this now, we're now being taxed on a nonprofit educational charity basis as opposed to a commercial basis, which is the big difference, right?
Correct.
That's correct.
That's a huge difference. Yeah, okay. Chris, we are now back to when you originally asked to be on the stack, so it's your turn again.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to ask two questions about the audit. There is the description that you used of unqualified. I'm not recalling what qualified means. So let me ask my second question, too, so you can answer them both at the same time. There's a deadline. We got an extension to file for the audit, I believe. I'm wondering what that deadline is. If you could tell us the answer to both of those, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Originally, the deadline was in July, but the gentleman at the office, I'm drawing a blank on the name of that office, State of California, something or other, Department of Justice or of whatever it is, he was very flexible with it. So my goal is to get this, hopefully get the term draft off of it this week and get it emailed out to him this week.
And what is a qualified audit versus an unqualified?
Yeah, that term, I never really liked that term. So unqualified means that they're not, and I'm not giving you the Webster's Dictionary definition if anybody wants to look it up, but unqualified means there are no, oh, you did a good job, but, or here are the problems, like you weren't reconciling your accounts or you couldn't justify these expenses. That's what a qualified opinion would be. A qualified opinion would be like, here are your failures. And so we did well enough, you know, from the actual task of the audit to not have a list of failures. Now, we will have a management letter, and there, of course, are notes in this, footnotes in this audit regarding, what do you call it? I'm drawing a blank. The likelihood of viability.
Going concern.
Yeah, going concern. That's note 13, I think, or 16. You know, there's still the note about substantial doubt about an entity's ability to continue as a going concern, is how they write it. So, you know, they do address the fact that there is a lot of debt that is going to, you know, generate interest payments and requires principal payments. That is very challenging, and that fundraising has to increase. So that's kind of two different topics of, are you taking care of your day-to-day business as far as documenting things properly, is whether or not you get a qualified or unqualified opinion. Qualified means you've got your processes are smooth and being recorded properly.
Okay, qualified means, I's dotted and T's crossed, I guess, huh?
Right, right. It doesn't speak to whether or not you can pay your bills.
Right, or, yeah, okay, I got it. Right. Thank you, I appreciate that.
Right, that's where you would still, have, you know, your management letter, or, and you could still have a unqualified opinion, the good opinion, clean opinion, and still have a couple of little things that they might call out in a management letter. You know, there are still some things on there that we need to get cleaned up, but that have been an issue for a while, and it's just been challenging to affect some change there. But
So
it's definitely better than not getting an opinion at all.
Absolutely. Julia, we are way over time for this item, so I'm going to ask for an extension of 5 minutes on this item. Is there any objection to a five-minute extension? But then I think we need to move on. Hearing none. Pardon me?
Oh, you were on the stack, right? Sorry.
Yes, I'm on the stack.
can you add me, James? I have a 30-second comment.
I will. I will, Kim. I want to say first that I it helps me to remember the meaning of the word qualified and unqualified there. And by thinking of the phrase an unqualified success, that's like a great success with no qualification. So that's the sense that you're using the word unqualified here. It's not like you're not qualified to be something or, you know, to do something.
Right. It's not the best word, in my opinion, for people.
I agree.
Who don't,
it's confusing.
Read these types of reports.
Yes, and the idea of a clean audit is synonymous with that.
Correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, Chris, you stole my question, but that's okay. So I had a couple of other quick questions. I wanted to note, just for your sake, Julia, if you hadn't caught up with Bertold, we brought in $5,700 in fundraising yesterday. So Bertold is expecting to make payroll. I think that will be okay.
Yeah, he needs 10,000.
Yeah, we'll see. I know.
Yeah, that's doable.
Yep. Yeah. Another question I had was, I guess it's not our place to discuss this here, but at some point we're going to need, you know, unless KPFK can be successful in their month-long fundraising, it's starting now or tomorrow, whenever it's starting, I think I'm just going to, this is just a comment, I'm putting it out there, we may need to revisit and make further adjustments on the payroll there. But I guess we'll wait till the end of that fund drive and see what happens, which makes sense. Let's see. I wanted to know if you could just elaborate a little more on the the relationship-based fundraising that WPFW is moving to. That's another, we've got the regular fund drive model. We've got what WBAI is doing, which is the 52-week schedule where we do a little fundraising every day. And this is an additional model, which is interesting to me. Could you just say a little more about it?
Sure. So for those who are not that familiar with WPFW, and I know everybody kind of does a fund drive, but their fund drive is quarterly, and it does not rely a lot on premiums at all. It does a little bit of that, but it doesn't have a tremendous amount of premiums, which is good. And it historically worked. The month that they do a fund drive, you know, the funds actually last the 3 months. And then as we get to the end of that quarter, you can kind of start to kind of be a little nervous about the cash flow. But there's always still been a decent amount in the bank. The goal, and I think a lot of the units have fantasized or talked about this, is really getting to know who those regular donors are, especially, you know, utilizing Allegiance or whatever system they might use to get to know who some of these donors are. And many of those might be active for various reasons. They tell you oftentimes which programs they're passionate about. And really getting to know some of these, so really divvying up the information, that data about who the donors are, and really taking a look at it by who they're supporting, what programs they're supporting, and finding out and really trying to connect with them, not just through the airwaves, but with a more personal way to see if there is an opportunity for them to support the station in a larger way, whether it's personally or through connections they may have with other people of influence or who have access to funds or have, you know, access to grants or that type of thing. So it's really about building a fundraising plan that breaks down, you know, what your goals are to get to know these constituents and develop those relationships, foster those relationships, maintain them over the years. It can, you know, be someone who doesn't necessarily have a lot of money at this point, but they might want to give, you know, name the station in their will. But, you know, there are people who would be willing to do that might not do it if they don't have a true relationship with the station. So it's really about delving into the membership and getting to know them better and developing those relationships. Does that answer the question? The problem is that that takes time. It is a good model, but it takes time, and it takes not only length of time, but it takes employee time or board time. You know, there has to be somebody there who's sitting there figuring this out and executing it. And you don't know those relationships can take a few years.
Yes, I think it's a good model for WPFW as well, because they've spent many years cultivating that, you know, sort of sophisticated jazz audience that they have. And I think it's a good fit for that kind of an audience. I guess that's why it works.
From one model to another, it can be challenging to do it all at once. And so while I think they're pursuing a great idea here, I think that the execution is presenting some cash flow problems right now that we need to better figure out a way to sort of, you know, how are we going to transition from this one model to the next without just cutting off the day-to-day regular quarterly fund drive.
Yes, we've learned over time that doing things cold turkey is not always the best result.
And there's no easy answer. There's really not. Yeah. But cold turkey is definitely not the answer.
If we could get unanimous consent to finish the stack, I'd like to get Kim to get her question in. And then, Julia, I want to ask you if I know you spent some time making up that list of things that NETA does. I think it would be important to have that read for the benefit of the stream and the members of the committee. So could I ask if there's unanimous consent to complete the stack. I'll be putting Julie on the stack to do that and Kim on the stack to make her comment. Kim first, of course. Is there any objection? Hearing none. Go ahead, Kim.
I just want to say for the new people on this committee that Pacifica has had a going concern warning on our audit since about 2011, 2012. I mean, that doesn't mean it's good, but it's not new. It's not a new thing. That's it.
Correct. That is correct. Julie, do you mind now reading the list of things that NETA does?
Sure, and I'll try not to make it too monotonous. But I did split it into 1, 2, 3, 4 buckets. Three are much more financially related. And then the fourth is human resources. So the first three buckets are the accounting services, payroll services, and audit support services. And I'll go into and itemize what that means. Under accounting, and somebody might have questions about what something means, so let's just get through the list, and if you have a question about what something means, just take note, and I'll answer it after. The accounting services is managing the general ledger, accounts payable, accounts receivable, cash management, journal entry processing, fixed asset processing, account reconciliations, monthly financial reporting, what we call a virtual CFO, a board liaison, and budget consultation. And that probably could have been in a little bit better order, but you get what the gist is there. Then we get into payroll services, and so that you have a company that actually produces your paychecks, has all the data. We just have an employee that processes your payroll. This individual collects all the data, whether somebody, most of the stations are using the time card system that's in Paylocity. For those that are not, an actual timesheet is scanned and sent in. to Sarah, and she processes the payroll 2 times a month. We also make huge journal entries. It is a pain, but, you know, having this many units and all the different accounts and how we have to, you know, shuffle in between the national office and all of the intercompany accounts, it's a lot of, it's pretty big journal entries twice a month. We also reconcile the balance sheet accounts for the withholding. For example, we, you know, there's withholding for payroll, you know, the taxes, whether somebody is contributing to their flex spending accounts, whether there's been a payroll advance, things like that. Oh, and retirement plan contributions and union dues. Well, you know, there are balance sheet accounts that all that stuff runs through. We also, Sarah and I work together. We monitor the payment of the payroll taxes to make sure that that gets processed. And, you know, she works with someone at the different units to review and verify all the payroll reports. But we also have a senior person here that reviews the payroll processing, you know, as a double check behind Sarah. Audit support services. So, you know, we obviously provide the support for all the annual audit work. We provide all the information for the Form 990. When I say provide that, obviously we work with the units to get that information gathered. We generate the 1099 forms, and we prepare the annual 1096 report. And then for human resources, I kind of felt like that was 3 categories as well. There's benefits administration, which is when you think about trying to staff that, that's typically one type of person and sometimes can be handled by an accounting type person. Then there's human resources administration, which is completely different. And then compliance. And of course, compliance is a function of both of those. But I just point out that the benefits administration versus the human resources administration is there are people who do both, obviously, and nonprofits, a lot of people do both, but that's just something to take into consideration that that there are two, you know, pretty different components there. Somebody who's dealing with the day-to-day staff issues, complaints, working with managers to deal with, you know, issues with employees or, you know, employees that have issues with the workplace versus administering the working to make sure that the retirement plan is functioning properly and the benefits are being paid and that and, you know, signed up for and things like that. And that's it.
Very good. And you did print that out, or you rather, you sent that around so everybody will have that, right?
Yes, I sent it to the NFC list.
Very good. Thank you. That's appreciated. Okay. I think that concludes this item. So let's go back to our agenda. And we now have, we're moving on to number 8, the motion to update Pacifica transaction limits. And we've had much discussion on this in the past. I sent around apparently I sent around some of the material we were discussing last week, but not all of the history. So I think we can carry on the conversation, hopefully without having all of that in front of us still. So why don't I just open the stack for conversation?
Mr. Chair, the yes. what you sent out was the thing you'd sent out previously, which was the wrong motion. If people want to see the motion,
think you mean the altered motion, right?
No, I mean the wrong motion. The motion that was postponed, you can look up in the minutes we just approved, and it's there. And it's the motion from a couple of meetings ago, because it's been postponed twice. So
correct.
It is not that motion that you sent out.
Kim, to the stack.
I get it. Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I think what happened is the one that you sent out today is version number 6. But
correct.
The only thing that's been on the agenda and in previous minutes was version number 5.
Correct.
So put me on the stack when I can have an opportunity to make my substitute motion, or can I do that now?
I think you have the stack. I imagine you could do that now.
Okay. Well, I would like to make a substitute. I would like to make a substitute motion for this, and I will read it. The MFC recommends to the PNB that we update the following 2013 policy, increasing the unbudgeted expense limit from $5,000 to $10,000 as follows. And it's the previous motion, if you want me to read that, changing the numbers twice in two different places from $5,000 to $10,000.
I imagine you probably should read it.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm hearing.
Is this motion going to also? My understanding was this amendment was to substitute, just throw in those two numbers to the 2013 thing.
Nope. It's substituting the whole thing with this.
Okay. That's not what I was saying. The 2013 motion is not about to be placed on the floor in some way, is it?
Yes, it's part of my substitute motion.
Reference it. You're referencing it, that we update the 2013 thing with these. Yeah, that's fine. I'm just saying, let's not have the whole 2013 motion is a part of the motion, because otherwise you're going to have to post that, because I can't type that fast.
Okay, well, I sent it to everybody a couple of days ago, so you have it, and Beth just sent it out a little while ago to everyone. So, I mean, I think the whole thing should be in the minutes, ultimately. You don't have to retype it. You can just copy and paste.
Okay, I've got crossouts here, and okay, it's something that starts out. The NFC recommends. NFC recommends to the PNB that we update the following April 2013 policy, increasing the unbudgeted expense limit from $5,000 to $10,000 as follows, and then in bold. Amendment to previous PNB spending policy approved 130425. Maybe a human readable.
2013, April 25th.
Yeah, I understand what it is,
but
not a good way to put that. Moved that any employee found to be establishing verbally or in writing unbudgeted obligations for the foundation in excess of 5,000 crossed out 10,000. I don't know that that's really not a way to do this. If you want to quote the whole thing, you would quote it in its virginal form, uncrossed out, and then say, and we move. I think the best thing is what you would originally done, which is to reference this 2013 policy and say, just move it from 5,000 to 10,000, because that's all that's really being done. Because crossouts in a motion.
It's just for people to see where it should be placed. I can send a clean copy out if you wish. It's just so people can see clearly where the two changes are.
Okay,
that's
part of argument. So that's okay.
No,
so,
it's part of defining what I'm doing and what my substitute is and what the final should be.
Mac on the stack.
We got a reconcile this because
our fault.
Tara, I'll leave it up to you.
What I'm trying to do here.
Kim, can you just hold on a second? Once again, I've allowed a vigorous back and forth here, and I just want to go back to the stack for a moment and establish, you know, a little bit more order. And while we're doing this, maybe Paul, you can look at that and see, you know, work your language magic that you do frequently for us, and see what you come up with. I realize that's asking a lot. Go ahead, Mac.
Well, with all due respect, I've never been confused at all. I don't think that Kim's substitute motion is confusing. She has merely moved, as I understand it, she has merely moved that the limit on expenses without authority be $10,000. That does not seem complicated.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, our Paul.
Okay, so I am not arguing the motion per se, and what the issue is right here is how to do this motion. If we have a motion and it says, and it has a number stricken out with a line through it, followed by another number, that's inarticulate. Kim's original thing is fine. Now, if she wants to post, she wants to say, okay, I've posted what the 2013 policy was as a part of her argument, that's fine. But as the motion, having that particular thing as the motion, I think, is not so good.
I understand your point.
Her original thing was to replace $5,000 with $10,000.
Yeah, I think Kim's point is she was providing that for information purposes so that everybody sees what's being changed. So I understand that as well. Kim, having done that so that everybody sees what the changes are you okay with going with our Paul's way of expressing the motion so that as a secretary he can get it in and it's simple and, you know, he doesn't have to reproduce all of that? Are you okay with that,
Look,
Kim?
I don't care as long as what I'm trying to do is that we all understand it. I will try and send out a clean copy of the previous motion with the updated amount. I am trying to do that right now and sending it to the group so he can just copy and paste it.
Okay.
Well, what we're trying to do is word the motion. And I have the NFC recommends to the PNB that we update the 2013 policy, and I missed a word or two there, updating the expense limit from $5,000 to $10,000.
Yeah.
So it'll be somewhere in there, I lost a word or two. NFC recommends to the PNB that we update the 2013, what do we want to call it? The spending policy?
Well, that's what it was called.
Okay. So spending policy. Again, as I say, I lost a word or two there. So I was asking for that. Okay, spending policy. Okay, the NFC recommends to the PNB that we update the 2013 spending policy. We update the 2013 spending policy, updating the expense limit from $5,000 to $10,000.